The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. So did Thomas do it or not? Did he in fact put his finger right there in Jesus' hands? And did he stretch out his hand and put it right there into Jesus' side? Great master painters depict this in various ways. I don't know or remember the artists, just the paintings. In one, Thomas is sort of hesitatingly crouching and unwillingly reaching out for the wounds as if he were going to be struck down at any moment. Or then there's another, it seems, that Jesus is forcibly taking Thomas's hand and putting it in his side. The text, you notice, doesn't say that Thomas touched the wounds, but instead he bursts out in the greatest and most direct confession of faith in the whole Gospel of John, "My Lord and my God." Personally, I can't imagine that Thomas did not touch the body of Jesus. I would think that especially in a case like this, when the resurrected Lord tells you to do something, you do it. But it just doesn't seem like Jesus to be nasty about it. "You said you wouldn't believe until you touch my wounds. Well, do it then." So Thomas, cringing with terror, forces himself to touch God's wounds. No, it can't be that way, because Jesus, remember, said first thing, "Peace to you." And then with all the peace and forgiveness of his cross exposed in his hands and side, then he commands, or perhaps better, he invites Thomas to touch the body of his salvation. Not a penance, not a punishment. Rather, it's the purest proof of Christ's forgiveness. "Here is my body for you, Thomas." Did Thomas need forgiveness? Well, I know it's a silly question. Several days before this, he had run away, like all the others, after insisting that they would never abandon Jesus. And then all week long since Easter Sunday, presumably, he had been sneering arrogantly at the gullibility of everyone else who claimed that Jesus, the crucified, now lived. But he was smarter than that. And then our common sense, our common experience might suggest that Thomas was also angry, furious that all his plans had crumbled, that he appeared to be a fool to have invested the last 3 years of his life in this nonsense. Perhaps also he was despairing. Remember that other great shame and vice? What's going to happen to me now? So let's count the sins. Arrogance at his own superior knowledge or ability, anger, despair, cowardice, unbelief. It seems that Thomas's sins are all too familiar. So the next Sunday comes, and all the disciples are gathered. And suddenly, there is Jesus absolving everyone. "Peace to you." Again, it sounds wonderfully familiar. "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And then Jesus commands, invites, "Take your finger and put it here in my hands. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take your hand and put it here in my side. Take, drink, this is my blood shed from my side for you. Be not unbelieving, rather believe." And Thomas confesses, "My Lord and my God." And we confess, "O Christ, thou Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world." And then Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And doesn't that sort of echo the Lord bless you and keep you? I guess we cannot tell for sure from the text whether or not Thomas actually did touch the risen Lord. But we do know for sure that you do, at his command and at his invitation. Here is his body for you. And as surely as Jesus knew all of the sins of Thomas, cowardice, arrogance, anger, despair, and whatever else there might have been, still Jesus bared his side for Thomas to touch. So also he knows your sins. Therefore, for your forgiveness, for your peace, he stretches out his body and he puts it right there. And you, like Thomas, confess with joy, "My Lord and my God." In the name of Jesus.
Amen.